Great job. We appreciate that very much. Rocking the house on some instrumental music there, wasn't they? Amen. Appreciate that. Great job, guys. And of course, all of you here know, or many of you here tonight, of course, know that choir practice is tonight and getting ready for the big Easter Sunday service. And we look forward to our choir and all the special music this Sunday. And be a great time of worship. Thank y'all for being here again. Appreciate your presence tonight. Of course, our children's ministry is having the Easter egg hunt, and the youth ministry is helping with that. And so thank you for being here for the Wednesday night service. We're going to have our second message in a four-part series during the month of April, Common Questions About Jesus Christ. We'll have the second lesson tonight, and then two more the next two Wednesday nights. And so we'll finish up with that, and then I believe Richard will be preaching in May. So we look forward to that as well. So good stuff going on here on Wednesday night. Let's jump right into it. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. We'll try to get through this in a hurry, and maybe you can go out there and find a few leftover eggs, maybe. No, y'all don't want to hunt eggs. Mark chapter 6, verse 1 through 6. Tonight's lesson, is Jesus more, or was Jesus more than a good man? Last week, we answered the question, is Jesus really the Son of God? And we looked and saw what the Scripture had to say about that. And tonight, our second common questions about Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 6. I would say that to save time, if you want to go ahead and go over to John chapter 7, we're going to be looking at that passage there as well. We'll flip to that and hold your place in Mark 6 in just a moment. Mark 6, verse 1. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things, and what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty works there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your time here tonight, Lord. Thank you for each and every person here. Bless our time together now as we look at your word. I claim Isaiah 55:11, as your word goes forth, I pray that it would not return void, but accomplish what pleases you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thomas Wolfe was a well-known American author and writer. One of his best-known books was actually published after he passed away. His book, or the most successful book, was called You Can't Go Home Again. You Can't Go Home Again. This book was about a character who was an author named George Weber, who writes a book about his own hometown. So I know it's confusing, but Thomas Wolfe was a writer who wrote a book about a writer or an author, and the character's name was George Weber. And his story in the book was about his own hometown. So, in the story, the book written by the character George Weber was very successful. And in the book, in the storyline, as George Weber returned to his hometown, he expected a hero's welcome, but instead a hero's welcome did not come. He was actually driven out of his hometown by his own family and friends. They felt betrayed by what Weber had written about them and their hometown in his book. In Thomas Wolfe's novel, the character George Weber is shaken and upset by the reaction of his hometown people. And the book says that George Weber's lesson was that he discovered that those who know you best tend to respect you the least. Here in Mark chapter 6, we find scripture, we find a story here where Jesus went to his hometown again. He's in his hometown of Nazareth. And for Jesus, just like the character George Weber, things did not go as you would think they would. Let's talk about the context and the background is what's going on here in this passage. About three chapters earlier in Mark chapter 3, we see where Jesus calls his 12 disciples into official ministry and sends them out to do ministry. And so we are about three chapters into Jesus' earthly ministry here. He and his disciples have been traveling around. Jesus has been teaching and preaching. He's been performing miracles. And at this point, he has become very popular, has a following of people. And it is obvious that there is something special about this man called Jesus. So let's look at this interaction between Jesus and his hometown folks, his return to his hometown in Nazareth, and we can see from this interesting encounter between Jesus and the hometown people, we can answer the question, was Jesus more than a good man? That is the title of our lesson. Was Jesus more than a good man? Three things let's talk about here tonight, this evening. Notice, first of all, number one, the people and the preaching of Jesus. Notice the people of his hometown and the preaching of Jesus. Look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. Read that with me. Look at your Bibles. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? So it is obvious here that on the Sabbath day, the Jewish people go to the synagogue and Jesus is preaching and teaching and speaking in that synagogue. And it says that the people hear Jesus speak and it says they are what? Astonished. They are astonished at what they hear from Jesus. And that word astonished, found in verse 2, comes from an original Greek word that means to be struck with fear. It means to be startled. It means to be frightened. In the original Greek language, it means to panic. I think for our modern day English and terminology, maybe you could say they were having somewhat of a panic attack. They had never heard anybody speak like this before. And it says that they were astonished. They were struck with fear. They were taken back, if you will, by the words of Jesus. But notice in that second half of verse 2 that it says that they heard Jesus speak and they asked three questions. They identified three things that about Jesus that they were struck by, that they were astonished by. Notice, first of all, we see here they call attention to his words. Where did this man get these things? You see, Jesus didn't speak like any other normal Jewish rabbi or priest. He was much different than any other speaker or orator or someone who spoke in the synagogue of his day. And the people recognized that. He was certainly somebody that they were not used to listening to. So let's look at two other instances in Scripture where there are comments or statements made about the ability of Jesus to speak. We're going to go to Mark chapter 1 first. Hold your place in Mark 6 and go with me to Mark chapter 1, just looking at this phenomenon about the ability of Jesus to speak early in his ministry. Mark chapter 1. Notice we'll lead into it with verse 21. Notice it says, "Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered in the synagogue and taught." There it is again. You're going in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. People gathered for church. Jesus speaks, verse 22, "And they were astonished at his teaching." Notice this. Look at it. Look. "For that he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes." So they went to the synagogue, heard Jesus speaking again. They were taken back by his ability, and they were able to perceive that Jesus spoke with divine authority, unlike anybody else that ever heard. It's certainly not like the scribes who interpreted the Old Testament scripture. So now we'll leave Mark 1. Hold your place, Mark 6, and let's go over to John chapter 7. Another incident, another incident where we see a statement about the speaking of Jesus. Here, if you begin in verse 40, in John chapter 7, you see how the people are divided about Jesus. Certainly the religious leaders are not following Jesus. They don't believe in Jesus. They're against Jesus. And you see, it speaks of verse 43, "So there was a division among the people because of him. Now some of them wanted to take him." Some of them were so taken back by Jesus, they wanted him arrested. They wanted somebody to take him into custody. But notice what it says. "Then the officers," that's the police, the temple police, the popo, "came to the chief priests and Pharisees and said to them, Pharisees said to the police officers, 'Why have you not brought him? Why aren't you taking him into custody?'" Verse 46, look at it. Tom's got it up there. "The officers answered, 'No man ever spoke like this man.'" So Jesus, his words, he spoke with a divine authority. And so we see here now, back to Mark chapter 6, not only did the people comment and question his words, they also commented about his wisdom. His wisdom, look at this second part of verse 2. "When Jesus spoke his words were filled with truth." He spoke spiritual truth. He spoke divine wisdom. This was not common. As I said a moment ago, understand, they were used to the teaching of the local rabbi, if you will, the scribes who simply were teachers or interpreters of Old Testament scripture. And here comes the Son of God, the Savior of the world, preaching and teaching like never before. And so they were taken back by his words, his wisdom. And also in verse 2, we see they comment on his works. His works. The people of Nazareth had heard about the miracles of Jesus. As I said, we're relatively in the early part of Jesus' ministry, but certainly he had performed miracles. Things have taken place. He's got a following. There's buzz and excitement about Jesus. And so the people in his hometown had heard about him, that heard about those miraculous events and miraculous works in the life of Jesus, in the ministry of Jesus. So they understand, his hometown folks, they couldn't understand how that little boy had been running up down the streets of Nazareth was now performing miracles. Because he wasn't just a good person, he wasn't a common man, this is with the Son of God in his ministry, performing miracles. I've got to hurry. Stay with me. Try to get it all in. Maybe most of you probably old enough to remember the TV commercials for the stock brokerage company, E.F. Hutton. You remember that? E.F. Hutton was a very famous stock brokerage company. It had a famous series of commercials in the late 70s and early 80s. Usually in those commercials, you would have a scene there where there were two people talking to each other. In the various commercials, they would be in different locations, maybe two guys talking in a restaurant, two people talking at a sports event, two people talking going down the street, and there'd be people all around them. And one of the people talking would say to the other person, "My broker is E.F. Hutton." And E.F. Hutton says, and what would happen? Everybody that's around those two would stop. Suddenly stop, and they'd lean in and want to hear what that person says. They wanted to hear what E.F. Hutton had to say, but the announcer at the end of the commercial would say, "When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen." Listen to me, church, listen. Jesus in his ministry, and we see instances here where he's going around in the synagogue teaching and preaching, and when Jesus spoke, people listened, and it says that the people were amazed at his ability to speak. They were astonished. Even as I said, we look in John 7, you've got the temple police commenting on his ability to speak. And so they never heard anybody speak like Jesus before. So we see here by the way that he spoke that he was not like anybody else. He was not just a good speaker, if you will. Jesus spoke with divine authority and divine power. Number two, not only do we see here the people and the preaching of Jesus, notice the people and the person of Jesus. The people and the person of Jesus, look at verse 3 now. Jesus is in his hometown folks. He's in his ministry. "Is this not what? The carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. So the people of Nazareth, obviously, you can understand, they had seen Jesus grow up. As I mentioned a moment ago, they'd seen him running the streets, playing. They knew his family. Excuse me. They knew Jesus didn't have any formal training, no formal education. They saw Jesus as a common man. Even this verse 3 says they identified him as what? That local carpenter. They probably had furniture in their house that maybe Jesus made, amen? They probably did. They knew him as the carpenter. And so it says now, Jesus is in town speaking, teaching, doing miracles, and it says they were offended. Offended. The word offended in the original Greek language means to stumble or fall. You see, they could not receive this kind of divine teaching from a carpenter. Their perspective was that of a common man, a good person. And they could not receive such teaching from a carpenter. They refused to listen to what he had to say. Listen, I just want to make a comment. What a lost opportunity for the hometown boys in Nazareth, amen? Here Jesus has come to his hometown and they're not receiving the Savior's words and his preaching and teaching. They miss out on receiving the words of Jesus. And we see here that the people resort to ridicule. They referred to Jesus as the son of Mary. And you may say, what in the world's wrong with that? Well, in Jesus' day, in society, a male individual, a man was referred to as the son of his father's name. And so to refer to Jesus as the son of Mary in their day was disrespectful, very disrespectful. And it's a mocking or ridicule statement, maybe referring to what they considered to be the illegitimate birth of Jesus. Listen, many people today want to think of Jesus as just another common person. It is often said, you've probably heard it or read it or seen it, that people will say, yes, Jesus existed. He was simply a good teacher. He was simply a good person. He was just another prophet. And even people today just point to him and say he was only a good leader. But there are many who believe that Jesus existed, but they deny that he is the Savior of the world, that he's the Son of God. He's born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died for our sins. And I've heard people say that they're okay with believing that Jesus died on the cross, but that being raised from the dead part, they can't accept that. Just like the people in Nazareth, in Jesus' day in Nazareth, people can't accept Jesus or believe him to be the Savior of the world. Listen, all those things that I mentioned, the virgin birth, the sinless life, death on the cross, being resurrected, those are, understand what I'm saying, on a practical basis, that is hard to comprehend on a human level. But the Bible tells us to believe by faith and not worry about understanding it all. We're supposed to believe with our hearts and not necessarily have to understand it with our head. Listen to me. You know, I don't understand how a black cow can eat green grass and give white milk, but I still like ice cream. Y'all get that later. And I believe by faith that Jesus is more than just a good person. He's more than a carpenter. Amen. He's not just a carpenter. He's my Savior. And then we see number three, real quick, we'll close, the people and the preaching of Jesus, the people and the person of Jesus. And number three, notice the significance here, the people and the power of Jesus. Verse 4, 5, and 6. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled, look at that, and he marveled why? Because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. He left town. We see here the people rejected Jesus, they rejected his message, and they saw Jesus as just another hometown boy. And it says in verse 5, because of their rejection, because of their unbelief, Jesus was unable to do mighty works. Yes, there's a few sick people in town that Jesus healed. They acknowledged there were some sick people healed, but there was not a full manifestation of the power of Jesus. There was not a full revelation or exposure of the power of Jesus there in his own hometown. Why? Because his hometown people rejected and didn't believe. Listen, my friends, listen, the power of Jesus and the miracles of Jesus belong to those who are ready to believe. Amen. We got to be receptive. Come on, receptive to the idea that Jesus is ready to reveal his power among his people. He wants to reveal himself and meet the needs of his people. Jesus is more than a good man. He is more than a good person. He's the Savior of the world. He is, the Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin. He died on the cross for our sins as the ultimate sacrifice. And this Sunday, we will celebrate his resurrection. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the story here. Interesting passage here, Lord. We see Jesus go home, go to his hometown, and certainly not received by his own people. God, we just know and believe and trust that Jesus is the Savior of the world. We thank you that we know you in a personal way because of the finished work of Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Woo!